Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about starting over and recognizing your value? Would you like to learn more about how to adjust your own mindset? Adjust your mindset for change. Tell me, have you ever wanted to know about how to go from the military to civilian employment? What a big transition that is, and it's taking place every day. Can you imagine going in for a job interview? I mean today, right now, would you be ready? Do you know how to deal with rejection? Well, I don't think any of us do. That's a big topic. And tell me, when was the last time you heard about a wonderful book called Directional Motivation? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. He has been on the show before, and he is a wonderful guest. He's a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that my show now has over 1.7 million listeners to date. Isn't that amazing? Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest tonight. He is the author of the Directional Motivation book series, which includes three books. The first book, How to Get a Raise, The Correct Way to Ask for an Increase in Salary and Wages. And the second book, How to Interview, What Employers Want to Hear in Today's Competitive Job Market. And his most recent wonderful book, Deployment to Employment, A Guide for Military Veterans Transitioning to Civilian Employment. My guest is a 20-year executive recruiter working with Fortune 500 organizations, and he is also a volunteer chaplain working within the prison, jail, and juvenile penal facilities of South Dakota. I am pleased and thrilled to welcome back to our show today Russ Hovendick. Hi, Russ. How are you doing?
Hi, January. It's just a pleasure being back with you.
Oh, it's always wonderful to have you on the show. You're doing such exciting things and helping so many people with your programs. Let's start off a little bit by talking about your own personal success story. And where did your story begin? Where were you born, Russ, and who were your early mentors?
Actually, I was born in Omaha, Nebraska. And we won't even talk about the year, right? We're not supposed to do that until how old we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Omaha, Nebraska. Uh-huh. And we moved to Minnesota shortly thereafter. And I grew up in a farm family. I've got six brothers. And milked cows and fed cattle and raised hogs. We baled a lot of hay and did all the things that farm kids do. And I think, you know, you asked about mentors. And really, as I think about both my parents, really were superb mentors in that respect from the work ethic that they instilled in me through that as a farm kid growing up and just the example that they set before us. You know, they came from very humble beginnings. They came through the Great Depression on the end of that, of course, and so conservative approaches to life and that type of thing. Ethics, morals, integrity, you know, all the attributes that go with that. And so I would say they were probably some of my best mentors. And of course, I've had business mentors and those types of individuals through the years. But really, you know, looking back, I trace it right back to them because of the example that they really set before all of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were growing up, what were some of the difficulties you had to overcome? Six brothers, were you the oldest, the youngest, or in the middle, or how did that all work out?
I was number five.
Number five, okay.
My wife likes to say, you know, he was number five, and he was the baby for 5 years before they went ahead and had two more.
Okay.
So she said, I have baby syndrome besides, you know, I like to have my things my way.
I love that. I think I have baby syndrome, too. That's a great term. We'll have to remember that one. What were the difficult things growing up in rural America and at that time in your life? What were some of the obstacles you have to overcome?
You know, one of the things that probably comes into to picture was the school. And because we worked a lot of hours, really did. One of the comments was made one time by one of the other kids, and they said, here's my brother David and Russ, or, you know, my brother David was a little bit older than I was, and then Russ, and he said, they're two of the hardest working people in the county. And I would probably say that we were, because we ran very hard. We worked a lot of hours. We got very, very early in the morning and did chores before we went to school, that type of thing. And so one of the biggest challenges we had was staying awake in classes because of it. And then a lot of times we spent time in the fields as opposed to being in the classroom. And what was very good is the accommodation that teachers did make. They knew it. They knew we weren't slackers at the same time, even though we might be taking a little snooze in their class. Not to say that they didn't come around and nudge me once in a while, but at the same time, that was, you know, maintaining the grades and doing that in all of that was another one of those work ethic situations. You know, hey, you can still do it. My dad was, I don't want to hear your excuse type of individual. You know, we have a job to do. Let's do it. I don't care what the excuse is. Let's get it done. And so it really taught us to not use excuses and to overcome whatever situation you faced. And I think that was just a tremendous attribute that he left with me.
Well, this was more than tough love. This was tough life. You were learning how to live a real life, contribute, do your share, plus go to school and perform there. That's pretty difficult. How old were you when this was all starting?
Well, that would have been really, I would say probably started about seventh grade, really, and continued through high school.
And you were actually doing man's work, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Much so. Very much so. you know, I don't know if people want to hear this, but
We do.
My mom was going to go to a second grade conference, my second grade conference, and our truck wouldn't start. And so I got on the tractor and gave her a pull and started, and she went to my conferences. Now, what she learned after she went to the conferences, I probably would have been better off not having started the truck, but that that's the way that went. But you know, and she said, you know, at second grade level, that's pretty pretty amazing. And you know, I was driving grain truck in third grade.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is amazing. That's, I know, that's totally amazing. As I think about my grandchildren starting to drive at 16, and here you were in the second grade doing that. Now, tell me, how did it play out with your brothers? Did they go to college, or were they just expected to continue to work on the farm?
Kind of a combination. I had brothers that did go in the military, and then I had one that went to college as well, and then another went to tech school. Well, actually, two went to tech school. And my dad had an eighth grade education, and but his math skills were superb. You know, it's interesting because he could sit down and formulate feed ratios and that type of thing, and mixing supplements and that type of thing for cattle and cows and that type of thing in his head. And he would do that. And also in building things and that type of thing, he had an incredible mind that way for figures and that, even though he's only, you know, through eighth grade. But they were proponents of education as well, and they encouraged that too, definitely.
And now, what did you do? Did you go to college, or did you continue to work on the farm, or go to tech school, or how did your career evolve?
I went to tech school, started in tech school, and then I went to college, and then actually dropped out and started working again and worked for a long time and then finished up my degree later on in life, but, which has been a good thing. It really has. And I'm a continual learner besides just, you know, one of the things I'd say is just because I didn't go to college, I'm continually learning. You know, in a given year, a lot of times I'll read, you know, 100 books.
Okay. Compulsive.
A little bit, yeah.
Now, tell me, just out of curiosity, what happens to a family farm like that, where your father is running it and all of a sudden he has 6-7 boys and you all grow up and leave? What happens to the farm? Does it survive, or does he sell it, or what happens next?
Yeah, they actually ended up selling out, and then moved from Minnesota to Missouri after that. And he actually bought a farm down there, but it was more of a hobby farm, that type of thing, to keep him busy and, you know, active as well.
Now, of your brothers, are any of them still farmers, or have they all had different careers?
I've got two brothers that one is retired now, but two brothers that farmed. And they, in turn, one individual, the nephew, my nephew, is farming with him, so they're in joint. And they're in Minnesota as well.
Okay, so it still continues in a small way for your family. What an interesting childhood. When you look back on it, how big a part did your mother play in this whole evolution of this family on the farm?
Incredible what she did, really. Yeah, you know, you think about it, because she worked outside as well.
Really?
You know, in terms of the family, and you know, you got seven boys. You wash clothes. You do laundry. You do baking, cooking. You know, everything besides, and then doing chores as well. And she was right out there all the time. How she got it done is beyond me. Now, one of the nice things that's a plus for my wife, anyway, for sure, is that I cook, clean, and do everything because I grew up that way. You know, we just were expected to go ahead and do our share that way too.
Well, you kind of like grew up in the military, didn't you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
My dad was tough. He loved us, but he was tough.
What a fabulous story for you to share with our listeners. You know, we're going to take a break right now and hear about your host and a new book that I've written. And when we come back with wonderful Russ Hovendick, we're going to talk about his book, Directional Motivation. We'll be right back with Russ Hovendick. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable, someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems, people who fearlessly shared their stories, people who have priceless personalities. I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today. Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Russ Hovendick. Now, Russ, tell me, you went to tech school, and then how did your career evolve from there to bring you to where you are now?
Well, I actually had visions of leaving the farm. How's that?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, so I went ahead and interviewed, and I actually cover that in one of my books. I went to Fargo, North Dakota, and interviewed for a position. And it was in the finance world. And my roommates at the time said, what in the world are you even applying for that? There's no way that you'll get that.
Uh-huh.
And so I met with a regional manager with them, and we really hit it off very well.
Uh-huh.
And, follow-up conversation with him after he extended me the offer and went to work for them. I said, so why did you hire me? And he goes, because of your work ethic and your determination, you know. And he said, you have a way about you that you're going to succeed regardless of where you're put, whatever. And he said, I just sensed that I had a winner in front of me. And I really appreciate that, you know. And so from kind of humble beginnings, I went ahead and started the finance, into the finance world that way. And then from there went over and into the executive recruiting area, and so I've been doing that for a little over 20 years now. Really, executive recruiting is one of the neatest professions you'll ever run across, in my view. It gives you the opportunity to just influence and make a difference for people and organizations and see lives change right before your eyes. It's really fun.
Well, you know, it sounds like for you, executive recruiting is your passion. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yes, very much so.
And, you know, I share this so often with our listeners when we're talking about how to be successful and other people's success stories. If you are able to find something that you are passionate about and then manage to do that as your occupation, somehow the pieces all fit together and your passion becomes your delight and it's no longer work. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows me, because I am a workaholic, I admit that. My wife would admit that. She said, "How do you, you can't recruit and write three books in 1 year, you know, that type of thing, and do all the things that you do besides." But it's a passion to make a difference for people, and when you come into work, I can't wait to get up to, get up and go to work, that type of thing. And the interactions that you have with people is superb. And it's not work. It really, really isn't. I have fun. I have a very enjoyable time. We laugh and giggle, and people wonder if I'm even working when I'm working with people. Because I like to make it a lot of fun. I always tell people nobody's more serious about getting the situation right for you, but let's have a little laugh along the way. And, it takes a lot of the anxiety out of making a change, that type of thing, bring a little levity to the conversation. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's terrific. I hope all my listeners are getting the message here. Let's talk a little bit about directional motivation and the first book, How to Get a Raise, The Correct Way to Ask for an Increase in Salary and Wages. Talk about that for us, would you, Russ, please?
This is a book that a lot of the books that you read, How to Get a Raise, they are taking the approach a lot of times that the company's the bad guy, that type of thing, and you deserve the raise and that type of thing. And this book is totally different because what it is it really makes people go through a self-assessment and to prepare and to know who they are and what it is that they bring to the table and why they feel that they deserve a raise, but they have substantiation to that, you know, effect. And it puts into play a very strong preparation so that when they walk into that room to meet with whether it be HR, boss, or whatever the case may be, they're prepared. But it also is a very valuable tool for management as well. Management loves this book because there's an accounting that takes place or accountability that takes place in this whole transaction on both sides. And so I've had HR managers, Fortune 500 HR managers say, wow, is this a great book? Because they like it because it makes their job easier. Candidates and employees love this book because it helps them. Because a lot of times, you know, people say, well, you know, I bought a car. I got a $200 or $300 or $800 a car payment. Now I need a raise. Well, that's not a reason for a raise. You know, I realize, you know, your situation's changed, but that's not the reason for the raise. And so I go through a lot of that in terms of preparation. I talk about the three P's, that being preparation, presentation, and then professionalism, and go through a lot of that so that when, even if the person doesn't get the raise that they're seeking, they've established a relationship with their manager that is such they can have continued conversations, continued follow-up, and really create a very, very pleasurable environment through that.
Oh, this is such great advice. Preparation, presentation, and professionalism. And then this leaves an impression with whoever you have approached about your raise so that they know you are prepared and you are doing the things you need to do. Let's talk a little bit about how to interview, what employers want to hear in today's market when you're trying to get that job.
This book is really, I know I wrote it, okay? But I have so many people that have said this is such a unique book because it's not really an interview book, and it is. But it's all about communication and an awareness of who you are and what you bring to the table. And very important when you go into an interview setting to know who you are. And then not only that, but to be able to communicate to the other party who you are. And so from this, I've had high schools that have adopted this into their curriculum. They're using it for their junior and seniors. I have a Fortune or top 100 food and beverage company that's using it for their on-campus visits and also their job fairs as well. Mm-hmm. They feel that strongly. And what they're doing, you know, what we talked about it, you know, proposing that they use this, and the average person out there changes jobs around, you know, 3 years, every 3 years. Actually, it's going down. And what they're doing with this is putting their advertising in the front of the book. And so every time that this person looks to interview again, they have their information right in front of them. And so it's really an ongoing sales feature for them, but they really, really love the book.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm sure when people go into an interview, a big part that you write about in Chapter 2 is adjusting your mindset. How do you do that? How do you go in and become the most dynamic, positive person that they've ever met?
Part of it is, again, knowing who you are and what you bring to the table and then putting it into a presentation that really brings those facts out. And so I talk about the character traits that make up who you are. What have people said about you? You know, what are the things that make you unique? Because everybody's unique in some form or fashion. And there's going to be things that an employer sees in you that says, wow, you know, I really like this person. They're different from this next person. And going into interview settings, a lot of times people use buzzwords and they use acronyms, so to speak, many times going into those settings, and they're not really communicating. They're just throwing out a bunch of verbiage. What I teach in this is to really sit down and define who you are and be able to communicate that to your party across from you. But it goes farther than that. It really goes a lot farther than that in terms of these are skills that will be applicable for them for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm finding is that, you know, I really wrote it for a lot of your high school, college kids, that type of thing, that aren't adjusted to interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
What I've had from this, I had a 30-year plant engineer that read the book, and he sent me the first email, and he goes, wow, is this fantastic. He said, I never thought about it from this perspective. And so he put it all together. And a week later, he said, I just wanted you to know I'm so excited. He said, I met with the vice president and the HR and three other people. And the HR manager escorted him to the door after the interview, and she said, I'll tell you this, this is the best interview I've ever conducted. And they offered him the job on the way home. Before he even got home, they offered him the job, and he turned around and went back and took the position. And so it's really, what I'm finding is a lot of people are, they're not really prepared to interview. And mm-hmm. what I do is I teach it in a totally different way, and people go, wow, this is really good. And so those are the comments I'm getting back, and I'm hearing the success from it too.
Oh, this is so exciting, because so many people are out there and they're trying to get ahead. They want to do the right things, and you are actually showing them how to do it. It's a wonderful opportunity for our listeners to be sure to go to Russ's website, which we are going to share in our next segment. Right now, we're going to have a commercial, and when we come back with Russ Hovendick, we're going to share his website, tell you how to get his books, and we're going to talk about deployment to employment, and that's we're going to talk about the conundrum for ex-military people who are going out into the world. We'll be right back with Russ Hovendick.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? This is Adele Park, author of Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook, inviting you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com to learn more. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
If you're going on a road trip, be sure to get Yikes and Adele's other audiobook, Jitters. Your trip will fly by. I guarantee she will keep you laughing every second you have her on. We're back with Russ Hovendick. Now, Russ, could you share your website information and share with my listeners how they can get your books?
Sure. The website address is just the www.directionalmotivation.com, and that's directionalmotivation.com. And on that site, this is a site that I built specifically to help people. It's a free site that has mm-hmm. all types of interviewing tools, techniques, tips. I've done executive interviews on our blog. There's all types of information to help people. A lot of our focus is directed towards the military community to help them as well, so there's all types of beneficial mm-hmm. things for them as well. But it is a site that's really usable by everyone.
Fantastic. Now, your book, Deployment to Employment, A Guide for Military Veterans Transitioning to Civilian Employment. This is a difficult thing that's happening now, isn't it, for our ex-military?
It really is. I probably should backtrack just 1 second with you.
Okay.
Because you asked me how could they get these books. I probably better tell that too.
Oh, yeah.
They are available
for sure.
On Amazon, Barnes uh-huh. & Noble, and then or they can go directly to the Directional Motivation website and click on the books section, the Directional Motivation books, and that'll take them directly to our publisher's website. So they can purchase it three different ways. And But pretty exciting. They're
yes.
pretty good.
And are they in? Are your books in Kindle?
Yes, they're in Kindle as well.
Okay,
so
wonderful.
E-readers and that type of thing. You can use them, iPads, all types of things.
Okay, now That's music to my ears, because as all my listeners know, I'm addicted to my Kindle. I can't live without it. I take it with me everywhere. let's talk about employment, the conundrum for ex-military. When they start over, how do they recognize their value?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have in there is an exercise that accomplishes that, because in the book, you know, we interviewed individuals from all over the world in different settings within the military. And so these were individuals that were within a year of transition, people that were in the transition mode, and then people that have done a successful transition. And this came about because of the need that I saw in interviewing these individuals, and they just were not connecting with employers and being able to share. And so what, and this will be on the site as well and in the book, but there's exercises that we do that take them right through. So let's say one thing, we'll use an example. I had an individual that I said, so what do you do? What do you do in the military? And he goes, drove a truck. And I
field truck.
Said, okay. So, okay. So tell me a little bit more about that. He said, I don't know, drove a truck. And so what I did is I sat down and really started to engage with him on, okay, how did you drive the truck? And what? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, so what type of routes did you run? What types of things did you encounter? What, you know, and started to really probe all the different things that made him unique in what he was doing. And some of the things that he encountered in terms of enemy and, you know, artillery and all those types of things. And people's lives were at stake. Because of him, their lives were at stake. And so I said, would I be safe in saying you weren't just a truck driver when we got all done? And you could almost hear his head drop, and he goes, you're right.
Wow.
And from that, we developed a confidence within him that he was ready to tackle the world. I'm telling you, the transformation that takes place when they start to realize who they are, what they've done, and what value they can bring to a civilian employer is phenomenal. Think about an individual that takes the pride in not only in what they do in terms of driving, but in the vehicle itself, making sure it's maintained and at the top level and all that. And what he would mean to a trucking company.
Oh, yeah.
You know, versus somebody else that just, oh, I'm just a truck driver on the road, you know, that type of thing. And what's incredible about military people is they have a tremendous desire to do right and to do it well and to function. And, you know, they hold themselves accountable. They have a just a high degree of integrity. Commitment that a lot of employers don't realize, and quite frankly, they will blow a lot of civilian employees away, you know, in terms of their skills and their value and that type of thing, but they need a chance.
Yeah, and you need to help them adjust their mindset to the civilian world, and I mean, I just love hearing this story that you've told about going from, I drive trucks, to I actually go out and save lives, I plan maneuvers, I do all kinds of important things. And this helps people find where they fit in, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And it gives them a level of confidence that, you know, from when I start with them and when we finish, it's like night and day.
And, I bet.
You know, the other thing that we bring out is what I call statements of credibility. And I go through that in my interview book as well. But statements of credibility, you know, people will throw out a term and then they have no substantive or substantial backup to that. So, for instance, you know, I say I'm a people person. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that you're the guy that stands by the water cooler all day and shoots the breeze with everybody and, you know, and bothers everybody going from cubicle to cubicle? Or is it somebody that really engages people and is a team builder and, you know, all those attributes? And so defining who you are. And so when I talk about credibility statements, it gives specific examples. So I, you know, I get away from buzz terms like people person, for instance, and give them the characterization of who you are, what you are, and then a statement of credibility saying, I did this, this, and this right behind it. And so it takes on a life of itself, or of its own. And employers go, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Because
well,
it,
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure when they hear what these people have done in their military careers, it's got to blow their minds. How do you help them craft a killer resume for a civilian employment, like taking the fact that you're a truck driver, and how do you help them craft that when they're doing their resume?
You know, a lot of it comes to down to what they're looking for as well. And one of the things that I walk them through is looking at what that, for instance, if they have a particular job that they're applying for, is to craft the resume to that job. So looking at the job description itself, there's going to be the terms in there that they're looking for, okay? And so they transfer that into their resume. And so that, you know, when the human resources person or whoever's going to be doing the interviewing, they see those terms in front of them that they're looking for. So many times what happens is veterans will go ahead and put in acronyms, you know, military jargon that the civilian world doesn't understand. If they haven't been in military, they don't understand it. And so they go, I don't know. Yeah. And they throw it aside and they go on. And what this does is it captures the attention of the employer. And I talk a lot about, and we're actually working on some different programs along that side to help them. But, bringing the characteristics that they bring, you know, defining what is the commitment level, what have they done, you know, in terms of commitment, what have they done in terms of leadership and, you know, the different things. Mm-hmm. How do you lead rather than just numbers and figures?
Now, what do you tell them when it's time for the job interview, and how do you get them ready for that? Because I know that's such a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm. For a lot of them, I tell them, relax.
That's great.
You know, and there's a preconceived idea from a lot of employers that they haven't been in military, for one thing, is that veterans are rigid. You know, well, the first thing that you can do wrong is, okay, have your hair cut to a minimum, you know, that type of thing. Let it grow out just a little bit. Soften that look, so to speak.
Okay.
Relax a little bit. Shake the hand, you know, engage, that type of thing. Put a smile on your face. Try and get if you're going to use, it's indoctrinated into you, and I know that. Yes, sir, no, sir, that type of thing. But what I work with them on is following that statement. Yes, sir, this is what I do. You know, no, sir, you know, that type of thing. And so it forms a sentence as opposed to a directive, yes, sir, no, sir. And it softens their approach.
Yeah, you're getting them to elaborate.
Oh, yes, definitely. And then using those items and preparation that we talked about, sure.
You know, I love hearing this because my husband is an ex-military, and he was a pilot and flew for commercial airline for 32 years. And when you said rigid, oh, my gosh. And the part where you said smile, I mean, he is so incapable of doing that. And I can see when you're doing a job interview and you've come from the military where everything is yes, sir, no, sir, it's very hard to relax, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And even your posture that you come in with, you know, relax a little bit. It's okay. Mix it up a little bit, that type of thing. And put your... You know, what I advise them to do is, you know, putting that party that you're interviewing with at ease. Put yourself at ease and put them at ease. Smile, engage, talk, do, you know, a little bit of small talk, that type of thing to soften that interview. And we've had, you know, very, very good success that way.
Well, you know, I may sign my husband up to work with you. Because he definitely could use your help. You know, we're going to take a break and hear a commercial. And when we come back with wonderful Russ Holmendek, we're going to talk about dealing with rejection, which is a big part of the job process. We're also going to talk about what success means to Russ and if he has any regrets or advice for you. We will be right back with Russ Holmendek.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Pat's book is fantastic, and I recommend it to anyone who is thinking about a second marriage or anyone who is in a second marriage, which is, I have been in a second marriage for 43 years. So I definitely highly recommend Second Marriages. We're back with Russ Hovendeck. And Russ, let's talk about rejection. And how do you maintain your momentum after you've had a rejection?
And that rejection you're talking in terms of the interview, I would assume. A lot of times realize that you may not be right for the company. It's okay. That may be the best thing. You know, when I teach people about interviewing, I work with employers on interviewing too, to bring out the two sides, tell their story, tell who they are, what they're looking for, what they bring to the table on both sides. And if it's not a match, it's okay. It's okay because you want to get that out in the interview and decide. Now, when you get rejected, that does not mean the end. And what I've found in working with veterans, they really appreciate what I'm doing for them. I've had them tell me many times, "You're such an encouragement," because I wanted to give up. And there's a lot of veterans that have given up. And if there's veterans that are listening tonight or family members, you know, I would encourage them, just keep going. Keep going. I've had individuals that have applied for, you know, tons of jobs, and then they landed it. But they get better. Yeah. And use interviews, and what I teach is to use interviews as a constructive mechanism to help you improve, okay? What did I do good at? What can I improve at? You know, that type of thing. And it's a progress. It's a progression type of situation. And so you're not going to land every job, nor should every job fit you. It's okay. You know?
It's okay.
And one of the things that has been mentioned by a number of the military, the book is going to be available August 15th, the way it looks right now. But
Wonderful.
Military establishment has really liked this book because it's such an encouragement as well. Mm-hmm. It's a step-by-step, easy-to-follow plan for veterans, but it does more than that. It's a tremendous encouragement to them as well to keep up the process, to hang in the game, to seek out help, support. It's such a key element in that. Get the support structure around you with people that have been successful. And you talk in your show about success and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a key factor in life, but it's such a key factor for veterans to have themselves surrounded by people that are successful that can boost them and help them along the way.
You know, we've done so many shows in the last month about the importance of getting a mentor. Just as you're saying, connect with someone who has been there, done that. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And it's so important to talk to other people who have walked the walk, and they can give you the support to help you get through the difficult things. And, you know, when you talk about rejection, all I can think about is, as you know, anyone who's ever written a book, you know about rejection, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Not everybody's going to love you. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
It's okay.
You know, my desire is to make a difference. And, you know, maybe it's just a couple of people out there that I can help. But those people, it can change their life. And that's what keeps me going, you know, that respect. You know, one of the things, too, that we're doing that's interesting, you talk about success, January. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, you heard my story at the start. I was just farm kid, that type of thing. And the circles that I have been able to navigate in now, I'll give you kind of an example. Dr. Mike Eccles heads up the Strategic Initiatives Division for the Human Capital Lab at Bellevue University. He's a PhD. He's held three executive-level positions within GE, and he and I are buds. You know, we're working on this program for veterans right now. In fact, we just crafted a article that'll go public in the mainstream media here very shortly with regards to veterans and their value to employers. But I think, you know, success, when you strive and want to make a difference for people, success comes. And it, because when you're doing right, success happens. And I encourage your crowd to, if they have a dream, and they want to make a difference, and they want to make a positive impact on the people around them, success will come because of that. It's amazing. And the people that have been in contact with me now want to be part of what we're doing. It's awesome. It really, really is.
Yeah, and it just gets back to, and I every interview I do, I feel so blessed to have this opportunity to share these interviews with other people. And every time, the more you give, isn't it amazing how much more you get?
Oh, it is. time and time again, you just go, wow, this is incredible.
Wow.
yeah, and I always think, well, why are these people reaching out to me? You know, I'm just, you know, a yahoo out in South Dakota. And yet the relationships that you form and the value and the difference that you can make in people's lives because of those relationships is incredible.
Yeah, it is quite a wonderful opportunity we have. Now, Russ, do you have any regrets you could share with us?
That I probably didn't start soon enough, really pursuing a lot of these things earlier, just because, you know, there's so many people that that you could have helped prior to this. You know, I wish we would have done that sooner. I really do. I wish we had would have had a bigger dream earlier. You know, that type of thing. And I encourage people to dream big.
Absolutely. Now tell us what you enjoy most about your life right now, today, as we're speaking to each other.
It really goes back, January, to touching people's lives and making a difference for them. There's nothing more exciting than to receive emails, receive calls, have friends and relatives say, you made such a difference in their life, and we just want to thank you for it. To have somebody in the veteran community, a relative of a veteran, say, you gave them an encouragement and got them over the hump, you know. There's some of these guys who have been, you know, contemplating suicide and that type of thing because they've had that rejection that we talked about. And being able to have a positive influence in that regard is just awesome.
Yeah. Well, this is important, big stuff that you're doing. And thank you so very, very much for coming back on my show and sharing this with our listeners. And I hope any listeners who know veterans who are trying to get back into things, and I hope you will recommend this show. And I definitely want you to go to Russ's website. He has some good stuff there, and it's out there, and it's just there for the taking. Russ, I hope you will come back and visit with us again soon.
I've really enjoyed it, January. Every time, it's always a pleasure, and I just appreciate your shows so much and the guests that you've had and the encouragement that you provide. It's really, really good.
Oh, thank you. And I love talking to you. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this fabulous show today. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amuse, amaze, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today, like Russ, today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Russ Hovendick. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.